Well, without further ado, there is a word from the Lord today. If you can turn to the book of Luke. You turn to the book of Luke, the first chapter. We're going to break this first chapter down a lot today, but we're going to start reading our key verse 46 through 56. If you're there, just say amen. Amen. All right. We're going to read Luke, the first chapter, verse 46 through 56. And it reads, in my Bible, it says, it's titled Mary's Song. Can y'all just say Mary's Song? Verse 46, it says, and Mary said, and I'm reading from the NIV version today, my soul glorifies the Lord. Verse 47, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Verse 48, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Verse 49, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. 52, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. 54, he has helped his servants Israel, remembering to be merciful. 55, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And last and final verse, 56, it says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So we know it's Christmas season, right? Raise your hand if you're excited about a specific gift you're going to get. And I know, remember back in the day when you were a kid, waiting for that gift, right? And I know because Americans love Christmas. They love this time. They might not love Christ, but they love this holiday time. Am I preaching already? And we know that. And I think we could agree upon that, that Americans love to buy stuff, right? Check this out. Last Christmas, Americans, during this holiday season, we spent $964.4 billion. In 2023, just last year, just in this Christmas season, $964.4 billion on Christmas gifts. Why? Because during Christmas, people purchase things. And what the things will give them is a chance to enhance their reputation. These gifts, we think, are going to give us a chance to help enhance our social reputation. So at Christmas time, lots of people think about their reputations. How can they look good? Back in the day, they just said, keeping up with the what? So at Christmas time, ladies, y'all know, I'm sorry, can we take our halo off for a moment? Ladies, y'all know, I'm going to tell my husband to get me those earrings, that pocketbook, so when I walk in the party, oh, everybody going to look at my Gucci bag. Am I talking to anyone this morning? Men, we purchased cars. Children, we purchased shoes. I can remember being a kid wanting a new gaming system so I can go back to school and talk with my friends so I can keep my social reputation. I can remember being a teen because my reputation is important to me. Your reputation as a human is important. with other human beings, right? So I can remember as a teen being excited on my birthday and on Christmas. Why? Because I knew I was going to get some new pair of shoes. I knew it. I knew those shoes could validate at school with the ladies. They'll look at me like, oh, you see, Justin got those Jordans on. Is it anybody else that's ever been here before? So at Christmas time, we see how much a reputation of someone means so much to them, that we're willing to put our money on it to elevate us. Us as humans, we're jacked up. We truly believe that we can find value in things. I've been there. You've been there. And at Christmas time, a lot of us are there. How do I know? Because as a society, we spent $964.4 billion. You will never be able to find your value in things. But you will always find your value and your true reputation of who you are and your purpose in God. So today, House of Judah, I just want to talk just briefly about Mary's song. Can we just say Mary's song? Father God, we just thank you for allowing us just to be here today. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us today, Father God. We will not count it robbery to be in here this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, no matter our age, you're going to speak to us this morning, Father God, because you have a fresh word just for us today. Father God, we thank you for streams of living water flowing from beneath my belly, Father God, and quenching our hunger today for your word. In your son Jesus' name. In the chapter of Luke, and as the other speakers and teachers have so eloquently set the stage, I'm going to backtrack a little bit chronologically to go forward. Is that all right, House of Judah? So we look at Luke, the first chapter, verse 26. Let's go back a little bit. In verse 26, if you're there, just say amen. All right. And in verse 26, we see, in the first chapter of Luke, verse 26, we find the angel Gabriel coming to the Virgin Mary. Just say Gabriel. Now, Gabriel, when he steps to the scene, he brings a reputation with him. He talked to Daniel, right? And then for 400 years, God was silent and didn't speak to the earth. But his last prophecy in Micah, what's the first thing he sent Gabriel to go and tell Zechariah? Is that the prophet Elijah is coming to be a forerunner before the Lord. So Gabriel, we see in the Bible, speaks to Daniel, and he's already spoken to Zechariah. And here we find in verse 26, Gabriel is here and he's talking to someone by the name of Mary. Verse 27, we find out that the Virgin Mary is pledged to a man named Joseph. And in 28, the angel Gabriel greets, and he says, greetings to you, Mary. You are highly favored. Isn't it great to be highly favored by God? The Lord is with you, he says. Mary, knowing that this is a supernatural experience, she becomes troubled and afraid. She's like, whoa, it's an angel, Gabriel. How many of y'all would be afraid if Gabriel came to talk to you tonight? Look, I'd be shaking in my boots too. But Gabriel tells her not to be afraid because he's bringing positive things. In verses 30 through 33, he says, don't be afraid. And he even goes on to tell her, look, your cousin, she's even conceiving her old age. And he goes on to tell her, you're going to have a child, and this child is going to be great. I promise if you stay with me, I'm going somewhere. In verse 34, Mary responds and she says, how will this be? Have you ever found yourself asking God a question? How would this be? Since I am a what, guys? A virgin. In verse 35 through 37, the angel speaks and he said, good question. This is how it's going to happen. He says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then he says, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived in her old age. And he said, for no word from God will ever fail. Verse 38, Mary, hearing all of this, responds. And Ms. Wright, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. In verse 34, Mary asked a very valid question. She asked an important question. She looked at this angel very strongly and said, hold on, hold on. How would this be since I am a what? A virgin. See, at this point, we saw and learned that Mary was pledged to marry who? Y'all know this story, huh? Mary, she was pledged to marry Joseph. And they were basically married, but they haven't yet consummated the marriage. So Mary was a virgin. In the Jewish custom, it was so serious that the man would have to give money to the father-in-law because their family was losing a daughter. And also, the man had to give money to the daughter just in case he died to make sure. So Joseph had already given his money. They were pledged to marriage. He had given up some stuff. So he was already invested into the situation. But they yet had not consummated the marriage. Why is this important? Because Mary is a virgin. I'm not telling you nothing new. You've been hearing this story since you were a child. But Mary's virginity was a huge part of her reputation. It's who she was. She was a virgin. She had worked extremely hard to save herself and to live for God. See, a woman's virginity was a huge deal in the Jewish society. It was their reputation before they got married. See, once they got married, then their reputation was a wife. But before then, for a Jewish woman to be a virgin was literally her life. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, starting at verse 13, just put that scripture up, you'll find a section about marriage violations. Have you ever read that in the book of Deuteronomy? If you haven't, check it out. You should read it. Starting in verse 13, it talks about how women have to show the proof of their virginity. It was serious. It don't sound like 2024, does it? And if you did it, show the proof, literally on a napkin, you would die. If it's in the book, just say, boy, it's in the book. And in Deuteronomy, it goes on in chapter 22, verse 23. It continues to describe. It says, and you can put that scripture up for us. It says, if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin, pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, verse 24, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. Why? Because that young woman, she didn't scream out. And the man, because he violated another man's wife. But look at the end, it says, you must purge the evil from among you. Custom. This is the Jewish custom. See, Mary's virginity was her life. She was Jewish. She knew this. If everyone knew this law, that if a man happens to meet a virgin in town, was Mary a virgin? Yeah, I think so. And if this virgin was pledged to be married, was she pledged to be married? Yeah, I think so, to Joseph, right? And if she sleeps with somebody that's not the person she's pledged to be married to, her and the adulterer could be killed. See, Mary, being a Jewish woman, she knew this law. She is a virgin pledged to Joseph, and she will be pregnant as a virgin. See, I like watching. Some of y'all like watching TV sometimes. Sometimes, right? I like, y'all gonna pick at me. Y'all gonna judge me when I say this, okay? Miss Wright, don't judge me. I like watching Paternity Court. Y'all ever heard of Paternity Court? Anybody? Paternity Court, you get those ladies on there, and it's they just be telling lies. They be talking about, no, I wasn't with this person or that person. And then you're waiting on your edge to the end to see if he's really the baby daddy. Raise your hand if you know you done seen that too. Come on now, put your halo down. Or maybe you like Maury. When they got the whole scene and the interviews are so funny, but by the end of it, you see if he's going to be the daddy or not. And the guy, oh, he's not the father. He stands up. Hey. Y'all remember Maury? We have Mary here, and Mary is in a real-life Maury in Paternity Court situation. But she is not lying like some of the ladies we may see on the TV show. She's telling the truth. For the first time in history, she's pregnant, but she's a virgin. This is extremely serious because Mary's virginity was her reputation. Mary's virginity was her life. Verse 24, it says in the Deuteronomy, if you see 3 through 24, in verse 24, it says something. It says, if you see the virgin that's pledged to be married, she sleeps with somebody who's not her husband. In verse 24, it says, you shall take both of them to the gate and stone them. That's not the one that was the virgin. That's not the one that she slept with. That was society having the approval to purge the evil from among them. I can imagine Mary started to feel the weight of society's shame on her. I can see her start to hear, I think that they would say, how in the world, this girl is pregnant and she's still a virgin? How many of y'all would believe it if your daughter came to you saying, mama, I'm pregnant, but I'm a virgin? I can imagine her thinking, no one will believe me. They may even try to kill me. Will Joseph even divorce me? No way he's going to want to stay with me. Mary feared God and lived for God. Though she had lived for God, her reputation with man was going to be in jeopardy. The only thing she had truly worked for was her virginity. Even with the weight of the world on her shoulders, Mary responded in verse 38 with what? I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. In the midst of possible death, Mary said, I'm the Lord's servant. knowing that people would think she's lying about still being a virgin, knowing the shame of her family is going to have, she still said, Lord, I'm your servant. Let your will be done. Let your word be fulfilled. Come on, house of Judah, do I have at least 5 people that can stand to your feet and just tell me that you know, even in the midst of calamity, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of possible shame, that you can stand and say, God, I'm still going to be your servant. God, let your word be fulfilled. It gets to a point in your life where you gotta start being okay with people having the wrong information about you. Woo! You gotta be okay with people thinking they have the right thing about you, but them absolutely being wrong, and you knowing that because you've been living for God, you knowing because you've been worshiping God and you've been doing right, that God is giving you a special task that's gonna lie on you. She knew that. And with knowing that, she experienced suffering. And sometimes our suffering is because somebody got a story, but it's not the right story. See, even in the midst of lies and shame, she said, I will rejoice. Is there anybody here that knows that you'll rejoice even when your own cousin thinks the wrong things about you and you know it's not true, because you know that's the hardest hurt that you could ever experience, is when your family literally looks at you and believes a lie. But I'm reminded in Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3-5, it says, but we glory in our suffering. Why? Because we know our suffering produces perseverance. We know our perseverance produces character. We know our character produces hope. And hope that does not shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's hope is not going to shame you. It starts with rejoicing in your suffering. And as you rejoice in your suffering, something starts to grow within you called perseverance. And that perseverance starts to shape a character inside of you. And that character starts to shape hope. I hope that's not going to shame you. Why? Because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Do I have 4 people that can stand up and say, God, I haven't been perfect. God, I haven't done the right thing. But I'm so thankful that there's no condemnation in you. Even in the midst of lies, I'm still going to rejoice. God's hope doesn't put shame. The word puts shame on us. God didn't put shame on Mary. The world put shame on Mary. But even in the midst of her suffering, I'm your humble servant. Your word will be fulfilled. I will still rejoice. Clap it up if you're enjoying this so far. We see. Did you catch what the angel said to Mary? I promise I'm almost done. I'm gonna get out your way this morning. Did you catch what the angel said to Mary? Twice. In verse 28, he said, greetings, you who are highly favored. Verse 30, and then he goes on and says, the Lord is with you. And then in verse 30, he says something again. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Remember the angel Gabriel, right? He comes to Mary, but he told her something. He said that your cousin even has conceived a child in her old age. And I'm gonna tell you this right now. I just had my first child, and I'm 33. I feel like I'm in my old age. Elizabeth, in her old age, is now pregnant. Elizabeth experienced shame. Why? Because she was barren. Go back into scripture. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Read it. Zechariah and her were blameless. It talks about it in verse 5 or 6. And it says that they prayed to God to give them a child. In their old age. Shadowing Abraham and Sarah. But in this moment in Luke, the first chapter, verse 25, we found Elizabeth after being pregnant. Notice what she says. She says, the Lord has done this for me. He has shown favor in taking away my disgrace among the people. Can y'all just say favor? Twice Gabriel told Mary, you're highly favored. Then he came back in verse 30 and said, you're favored. And in verse 25, we see Elizabeth realizing that her shame is gone. Because she had so much shame because she could not have a child. But in verse 25, she said, I found favor in God. And my disgrace is gone. And we see in Luke, the first chapter, verses 39 through 44. Verses 39 through 44. Read it when you get home. You see Mary going to live with Elizabeth. And when Mary first meets her, I'll read it right quick. At the time, Mary got ready and hurried in town in the hill of Judea. Keep going. Verse 40. Where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby did what? It leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Gabriel told Zechariah that his child that they were going to have was going to have the Holy Spirit. So when Mary, scripture means so much. So when Mary came, he was then filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit left all man when Adam ate the fruit. Every man after that was not born with the Spirit, but the Spirit only came on the prophet, the priest, and the king. But here we see a baby now being born, the forerunner of Christ, now is being engulfed with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we see, as Mary and Elizabeth are talking in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. Keep going. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? Verse 44. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in the womb did what? Leap for joy. 45. It sounds like y'all enjoying this like I am. It leaped for joy. And in 45, it says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So we see chronologically, Zechariah and Elizabeth did not have a child. Shame was on them. Gabriel comes and talks to Zechariah in the temple. They have their child. Elizabeth sees in verse 25 that she has favor with God. Just say favor. And then we see Gabriel coming and he's talking to Mary. And he's telling her that she's going to have this child. She's a little afraid. And she knows she's a virgin, so she's afraid for her life because her virginity was her reputation. Her virginity was literally her life. She accepts the word of God. I am your servant. Your word will be fulfilled. And she goes to her cousin's house because Gabriel told her that her cousin had conceived. And as Mary is there at her cousin's house, when she meets her, womb leaps for joy. And they are celebrating because God has done great things. Can we just say God has done great things?
Both ladies found what with God? It's an F word. I promise I'm almost done. Both ladies found favor with God. Check this out. One lady was exiting shame and disgrace. Another was entering shame and disgrace. But both were living for God and had found favor with the Lord. Just say favor. I came up with my own definition of favor. Can you put it up for me, please? Favor is God's purpose for your life overriding man's perception of your value. It's God's purpose for your life overriding man's perception of your value. See, these two ladies were looked down upon in society's lens. Elizabeth was barren. Mary, now being pregnant, is going to claim that she is still a virgin and possibly facing death. Elizabeth's perception of them were extremely low. But Elizabeth was old and couldn't bear. Mary, knowing that she had a child, but still is a virgin and still being pledged to Joseph. See, though the world counts you out, House of Judah, God values you. And God has favor on you. Though the world's perspective of you is low because you're old. Though the world's perspective of you is low because you may not be rich. Though the world's perspective of you is low because you may not have had your graduate degree. You may not be a doctor. God has a purpose for you. And that purpose that he has for you can help you to stand and rejoice. Be okay with the world being wrong about you. Hallelujah. God's purpose for you will override man's perspective of your value. Though man counted Mary out, she still chose to rejoice. And with so much gratitude in her heart, she began to do something. In Luke 46. Pull up Luke 46 for us. With hearing the prophecy from the angel, with knowing the shame and possible death. But isn't it funny how God will link you up with somebody you need to be with in the right time? With all the weight of the world literally on her shoulders, she starts to do something. She starts to sing. But look at her song. Verse 46, our key verse, it says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations shall call me what? Blessed. 49, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. 52, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent away the rich with empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering them to be merciful. In verse 55, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised to ancestors. Feet. Song means something to you this morning a little different. Let me see you stand to your feet because God has not forgotten you. What am I saying to you? I'm reminded of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 12. It says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those that humble themselves themselves will be exalted. What are you saying, Goldsmith? I'm saying the material things that we buy, the $900 billion that we buy, will never increase our reputation. It will never increase our value. The Stanley Cups that you get just to be like everybody else, the Nikes that you get, the cars that you get, it will not give you your value. But Mary, she started to see, I know God is not doing this to me. She was in this predicament because she'd been living for God. She was receiving shame from the world because she had been humbled and was living for God. Her family was going to shame her because she was highly favored. And she was called according to his purpose and his will. Do I have anybody here that knows, even in the midst of shame, even in the midst of suffering, you can still rejoice?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm reminded of the psalmist, I will rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. I'm reminded of the psalm that says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You may need your joy restored because let's tell the truth. The suffering that we go through, sometimes we don't rejoice. The suffering that we go through, sometimes it bogs us down. But I'm here to remind you, though they strike you on the right hand, God is going to lift you on the left. I'm here to tell you that God, he remembers his humble servant. So Mary, keep singing that song. That song of the humble winning. Mary, keep singing that song. Because the last shall be first. Mary, keep singing that song. Because your song, being in the full likeness of God, he counted it not robbery to derobe himself from everything that made him God. Notice, when you're humble, God exalts you. Notice, she said, I will be called blessed from all generation to generation. Jesus, sitting with God in heaven, the greatest place you can be, he could have stayed, but he chose to come to earth. So Mary sang that song because his name was Word before, but in the beginning was the Word became God, and the Word became flesh. He became Jesus, who was a Savior, but he took a step lower from what he was already at. But just as he was humbled and was born in a manger, in Mary's song, it says the hungry, they gonna get a lot. The rich, they gonna leave empty. God doesn't want you to be poor. What he's saying is he just wants you to humble yourself. Even when society has thrown you away. Because Jesus humbled himself, and God so loved the world that he gave us a son. The name that he thought was great. Because he allowed them to beat his back and cross him. He allowed them to murder him. Just as in Mary's song, the humble one, God heard his cry. Because many is the affliction of the righteous, but God delivers him from them all. What am I saying? What am I closing with? I'm saying just as Jesus humbled himself and what we thought was great. No, 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 baby. Now Jesus' name is a name above all name. Why? Because he stepped off his high horse and he came down to earth. And if you can step off yours. Why? Because I know God is hearing the humble. He's favoring me. Even in the midst of shame, I know that God has favored me. Even in the midst of gossip, you're thinking you're going to get fired for some lies. I'm here to remind you that God, he's let God handle your reputation. I promise it'll be the greatest reputation that you could ever have. House of Judah, let's stand. And let's just thank God for the word today. Come on, don't play with me. Let's stand and let's thank God for this word today. Because in Mary's song, we see it just hits a little different. Because we knew that Mary was going through, even in the midst of death, Mary was facing death. Even in the midst of death, she chose to rejoice. I don't know if y'all know this song, but this is a song. William Murphy just says, I will rejoice. Says, I will rejoice and be glad. That's all it says. Y'all ever heard that song before? Hallelujah. And it just says, and I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Hallelujah. And be glad. The altar is open. Is it okay? For prayer. If you want prayer, come on. And I will rejoice. If you want prayer, I'm saying a special prayer this morning. For those that are going through some stuff.